way and let him preach. James chapter 1, verse number 14, the Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." James chapter 4, just turn just maybe a page in your Bible. Verse number 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." For Lord, help me for a few minutes. I'm going to preach to you. It does not have to be a struggle. It does not have to be a struggle. There was, I believe it was an old Indian that said it feels like two dogs on the inside fighting and carrying on and warring at each other. And someone asked, "Well, which one's winning?" He said, "The one that I feed the most." And that is exactly where we are tonight in the spiritual world that we're in. The one that you feed the most and the one that you try to nurture and the one that you try to keep up is the one that's going to win. You're not going to win in the path that we're in, and that's being a Christian and serving God, by rubbing shoulders and being part of the world on an everyday basis. Now, I'm not here to lambast you and try to beat you over the head and make you feel bad, because I and myself have been young, and I realize the struggle and the strain and the things that go on as being a young person and the things that you have to deal with and all of the things that come against you. And I realize that where we are right now in the hour that we live in, I fully believe that there's more powers working against us than ever has before in our life. That's the way I feel. If you differ, well, that's okay. We'll agree to disagree. But we are in a battle. Young people, you are in the fight of your life right where you sit right here in this house tonight. You need to get everything you can from God while you can. You are in a warfare. You are in a war zone. This is not a kind place. It's not an easy place. But God can help you if you will let Him help you. He will not leave you where you are helpless. But He will come to you and He will help you in your hour of need. I know for a fact, and I will share some of my own experiences with you tonight, and I won't do that for anything other than for the glory of God. And I'll talk to you a little bit about myself here in a little bit. But I can tell you without a doubt, and the Bible said it, I could have read it here in James, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I mentioned it there as I begin to start here tonight, that you cannot rub shoulders. And I don't mean you go out and have to be a part of a job, or you don't have to go out and you have to go to the grocery store. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I mean is physically becoming part of what the world has. Their activities, their music, the places they go, the things that they do. You cannot do that and maintain a close walk with God. It is impossible. You cannot do it. You need to try. And I know the world is full of young people right now, and not only young people, but mom and daddies as well, that think that they've got a new angle on this thing, and they can do as they desire, and they can do what they want to do, and they can still have God and still have the anointing of the Holy Ghost and still do what God wants to do. But my friend, you're sad mistaken if you're sitting in this house right here tonight and you think for one second that you can be part of the world and then you can still have the blessings of God. No man can serve two masters. It is impossible. You're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. And God will not take anything less of you than 100%. He's not looking for 50. He's not looking even for 99. What God requires of you and your life is to turn everything over to Him. Give yourself wholeheartedly, lock, stock, and barrel, and serve Him with fullness and gladness of heart. But it is in our nature to want to be like the world. If you're not sold out wholly to God, and even if you are, you still have to fight and pray and keep yourself sanctified and keep yourself on the altar. Because if you do not and you give up, there will something move in and will take the place of that. I was preaching the other night and it just came to mind, and I'm going to tell it right here, that in low times, and we all go through them, rather than when we cannot feel God like we want to, and we cannot see Him move like we want to in our lives, there is a place in every one of our lives that is a place that God is a shape that only God can feel. And we may be doing good when we are shouting the victory. And we may be doing good when things are going right for us. But when it turns the opposite direction, rather than walk by faith and not by sight, rather than do that, we fill the hole in our life that God is supposed to be in with something else, because we cannot feel Him and we cannot see Him just like we want to. But this is not a walk by faith, by feeling. It's not because I can see it like I can Brother Neil right here. It's because I have faith. And when you get in a low place and you get in a low time and you get in a struggle, you have to walk by faith and realize God is working on your life, and He's working for you, and He's not forgot you, and He is for you. I see, I've worked with the young people at the church at home, and I talk to some of them. I try to counsel them when I can if they need counseling, and try to help them. That's what I want to do. I don't want one young person to ever walk out of the house of God. I don't want to think about one young person that I know or have any idea about and that anybody to go to hell. What an awful place. What a place of torment. What a place of punishment. Was separation from God. If it was nothing there to torment you, if it was just a separation for God, that would be torment enough. Because whether you realize it or not, and as a young person, you may be in a rebellious state and think that you do not need God. But my friend, you cannot make it without Him. It is impossible to make it without God. And you walk away and you go out and you go on your own accord and you live your life the way that you want to live it. And you turn your back on God Almighty. You may not realize it for the first little bit, but eventually you will have a longing inside of you for what the house of God once was to you, for what God Almighty is to you. My friend, don't throw away your chance tonight. You need God and you need Him to help you. And He is here tonight if you'll let Him. But I see young people that struggle and go through things, and I wonder why. And I begin to think back of my past and my life, and then it's not so hard to wonder, to realize really why they're struggling. It's because that you're not sold out, and you may have made the initial steps to come to the altar and pray. And you may have made that initial step to say that you're saved, but you have left it right there, and you have not nurtured your relationship with Christ, none whatsoever. You have left it right there. You have decided this is as far as it goes. I want to say that I'm a Christian when I'm in the house of God. But when I go to school or I go to college or I go out on the weekend, I want to be like those around me. And if I give God too much place, and if I give God too much, He'll require too much of me. And I'm just going to keep it like this. But my friend, I've already told you, He requires everything. And you'll sanctify yourself, and you'll do what God wants you to do, or you will not have any place with God. And as I've already said, you cannot make it without Him. young people decide, and mom and daddies, and I'm focusing on young people. That's really the way. Mom and daddies are here too, but and I'm preaching to you. If it hits you, so be it. But I really have a burden for young people, and I want to see them do what they're supposed to do. And I do not want to see you out of the house of God. You refuse to crucify your flesh and become sanctified and sell yourself out totally to God. If you're a friend of the world, I read it to you right here in verse number 4. You are an enemy of God. And I'm looking across right here and I feel like the Lord has let me see this. And I don't know that I ever have done this before. But I see some faces sitting right here. And I can point you out right now that you're doing your best to ignore me. You're right now, I can point you out that you're doing your best to ignore me. But I promise you, with everything inside of me, by the authority of God's holy word and the power of the Holy Ghost, I know what I'm talking about. Because I know what it's like to sell yourself short. And I'm living the life right now as a result of not staying sold out to God as a young man. I promise you it's right. And if you decide you want to flirt with the world, and if you decide you want to go that path, you'll pay a price without God's abundant mercy to you. And I know it's new every morning, but when you set your jaw and you decide to go the way that you're going, God will let you run as far as you want to go. He will not stop you. And if you make it back and you make it back whole, it'll be because of His mercy only. But if you don't turn around, destruction is near. You will not submit your ways to authority. You will not submit yourself to what God wants. You won't mind your parents. I don't care if you're 16, 17, 18, 22, or 23. If you're living in their house, they are your authority. And you must obey them. You won't listen to your pastor. You won't listen to those that have the authority over you. Because you've decided to do it your own way. But if you don't turn around, destruction is close by. Hallelujah. I dealt with a young man. He worked for me. I had to wind up. Honestly, I had to fire him. He didn't do what he's supposed to. He got on some stuff he wasn't supposed to, and I had to fire him. He called me one day after he was gone, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I've got something I want to ask you." And I said, "Well, go ahead." And he told me, he said, "I know what the Bible says. And, well, I know what my preacher said." Maybe he didn't say the Bible, but he said, "I know what my preacher said." But see, I was raised this way. It don't matter if you was raised out of the house of God. God still requires for you to live holy. But he said, "I was raised this way, and this is what I, my life, and you know, this, that, and the other." And to be honest with you, he was homeless. He was living out in the woods. And as rare as it is for us to have snow in Georgia, we had snow. And he was in the woods living in a sleeping bag. As far as I know, maybe nothing even over his head. If it was, it wasn't much. Why, it was snowing and it was what was going on. And he said to me, "Do you really think, God, I've started, you know, I've gone to church now. I got a place to live. Do you think God would put me back out if I don't do what's right?" And I began to speak the word of God to him and try to deal with that young man. And I told him what the Bible had to say. And he said, "Well," he said, "I appreciate your time." He said, "But I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it exactly the way I want to do it. Maybe God will accept it." God does not accept your way. God will not accept what you want to do. He will accept what He puts in your path for you to do according to His will. You will not live according to your own self. You won't go the way that you want to go. You will go the way God wants you to go. It is not a question. You don't get multiple choice here. It's not 4 or 5 different ways. Life does have many choices. Eternity only has 2. That's the only possible scenario in eternity. It's heaven or it's hell. It's not that you get to go the way that you want to. And I want to drive that home right here. You better pay attention. Because there is a hell that wants you. There's an enemy that's seeking you and stalking you daily. He is on your trail, whether you're in a house of God or not. And he will take you out if you allow him to. Because God will not allow him to take you if you're doing what you're supposed to do and you submitting yourself wholly to him. But if you're straddling the fence, there's really no such thing, because the devil owns every bit of the fence. He has every bit of it. If you don't believe it, read in Revelation about lukewarm and what he'll do, and the rest of the things the Bible says about spewing you out of his mouth. This fence is lukewarm, and Satan owns every square inch of it. And you cannot come in this house and come to camp meeting and come to youth camp and be godly then and walk out the doors and become like the world again. And I don't know why I'm saying it over and over and over again, but I am, and I know for a fact that's the way it is. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad way, I believe it was Brother Randall Logan. I believe it was Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. He was talking about that, about the broad and the narrow way. Broad way's pretty easy for a while. Sin is good for a season. The Bible says that it is. It's fun. What it says, pleasure of sin is good for a season. There's a narrow way that's hard. Have to worry about your conscience dealing with you when you do something you ain't supposed to. When you don't submit yourself to that authority and you don't follow those that have the rule over you. You have to worry about that mind worrying and bothering you, and you lay in tormented at night. And when you go somewhere you're not supposed to, it bothers you. But there's a broad way that, unfortunately, there's many, many, many that's going right down that path right now. And what they're doing is they're taking the easy way, it seems. But it's going to narrow up here in just a little while. And it's going to dump you off into the gates of hell. And that's real plain and that's real hard. But I sure would like to reach over to grab somebody's hand tonight. It seems like they set their jaw and they're going to do it their way and pull you back. And you realize that God really has something for me and he wants to help me. And you come around these altars sometime or another and submit yourself back to God and take a new way. I told you I knew something about what would happen if you didn't submit yourself to God. Now I'm fixing to talk to you and I'm fixing to get personal. I don't mind it. Don't let it get you upset, because it ain't going to get me that way. Because all I can do right now is use it to try to warn you. I can't go back and fix it. And in a few days when you make a decision you're going to make, you won't go back and fix yours either. As a young man, in and out of church, revival come, maybe I put on a good face at times. Be victorious in revival. Get out. Go to work. Worked on a worldly job, a public job. Want to be like them at work. Want to do what they did. Go to church. Want to be like them. I don't say this with anything in my heart against her, because I love her. She is my wife. But I married a woman that did not believe like I did. And she didn't go to church where I did. And when I decided, by God's abundant grace and mercy, I told you you could maybe come back, but you probably wouldn't come back whole. And I didn't either. Because when I know I didn't go crazy. I didn't drink. I've never tasted alcohol. I only know what it tastes like. I don't know anything about that. I don't know what it's like to go to places that the world thinks is just fine. I don't know about that. I don't know about parties where drinking and all that's going on. Very, very little have I ever been around anybody drinking at all. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to do that to be wrong. And you don't have to do that. And I've got to hurry up and quit right here. And I know I do. But you have got to do what God wants you to do. Because I didn't. I got a phone call on my job about 4.5 years ago. We was in a great revival. And I had begun really to submit myself to God and seek in his face. You see, as a young person like you are sitting right there, I knew I was called to preach. I had not submitted myself to that. I had not taken the steps. I want to do it my way. But I married this woman, and I was, like I said, I'm rambling just a little bit right here, but I want to try to get a point to you. I was sitting on my job in my office out in the field working. I had a crew of guys outside, and I was in the office by myself when my phone rang. And I said, hello, and it was my wife. And she said, you know I've not been happy. And you know I don't like you going to that church. And I'm leaving. I've took our daughter, and I've left. And you can find somebody that will agree with you if you look for it. Because her pastor at her church told her to. You can look to find someone to appease your conscience. You can look and hunt somebody down that will agree with you, that will say, yeah, that's okay, go right ahead and do it. But I'm standing before you tonight without my wife and daughter in this house, not because they're at home and one of them's sick or something, or they didn't have time to come, because they're somewhere else living, because you don't come back whole very rarely from when you do it your way and you don't submit yourself to God. My friend, though, it don't have to be a struggle. It don't have to be that way. You don't ever have to stand in front of a bunch of young folks like I'm doing right here in this house tonight and tell what's going on in your life and try to save somebody else from mistakes you've made. You can be one of those that says, I never left the house of God. I don't know anything about the world. I don't know anything about anything other than a holiness church. I don't know anything else other than what serving God's about. And as a young person, and I can call some names right here, and I will, Justin Cole at Jersey, Georgia, and Paige Skinner and different ones, and I can call more, and I know I can, but I'm just using those that fast and pray and seek God's face and are worried about pleasing God. And I don't know you, and maybe I could put your name in that. I don't know if I could, but from the looks of some of your faces, I don't believe I could. And I believe God is pulling on your heartstrings because you have refused to sell yourself out and do it God's way. But you don't have to struggle. You don't have to go that way. God is reaching for you right here tonight in this tabernacle, and He'll help you if you let Him. I want you to say, like I have now, at this point in my life, I want you to say right now, to me, He's become everything. And if you'll submit yourself to Him, and you resist the temptations that's right ahead of you, and you'll resist those things that's pulling against you, He will become everything. And He'll keep you from the enemy that's trying to take you out and destroy you. My friend, is the last words I'm about to tell you is this. It does not have to be a struggle. If you'll submit yourself to God, He will use you. And you do not ever have to leave the safety of the house of God. God is for you. And if He's for you, who can be against you? It does not have to be a struggle.